with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M. Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo everybody, Luke and Cherie with you. Thank you for your company on the catch up this afternoon. I'm very proud of us this afternoon.
Are you?
Yeah, well, I just realised as looking at what we're going to whack into the podcast for everyone, we didn't talk Married at First Sight today
We did not. It's become boring.
Yeah. How's this? There's one couple on Married at First Sight. In the episode that went to air last night aired for 1 hour and 40 minutes.
Oh, I fell asleep.
And one couple featured for 17 seconds.
Yeah, because they're too normal. We can't do normal.
Because they're in love.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the whole show is supposed to be a show that promotes love. They've only got one couple that's truly in love. I can't remember their names, but they're
Kathy and Thingy, isn't it? Whatever his name is.
But they just get glossed over and then they just hone in on the people who are having dramas and trouble.
Oh, it's a shame because it would be awesome if you actually did. It would restore people's faith in love if you actually followed it properly.
And is there anything better in the world than being in love? Look,
no.
I'm in love, and it is, like, it's honestly the greatest feeling, isn't it?
So I don't know why they don't focus on that. Why focus on the tragic?
This is bloody boring. It is.
Come
the drama's
on, it's not.
More interesting, isn't
we
it?
We just love throwing shade on the idiots that are on there.
Hey, coming up on the show this afternoon, we'll debate whether or not firstborns are the most favourite in the family. Cherie has a go at keyboard warriors. Also, Cherie had trouble with a case of mistaken identity. We'll get into that for you. There's an ibis plague here on the Gold Coast, and Dawn Critchlow's got a unique way of solving the problem.
Do you know there's 70,000 ibises on the Gold Coast?
Mm, I think it's I buy. Yes.
Yeah, goodbye.
Goodbye, I buy. I love the ibis. I go against
Do
the
you?
Grain. Yeah, well, they can't help it, mate. They're living creatures, and what? God didn't make them as pretty as a parrot, so you hate them? Like, what's wrong with an ibis? I love them.
It's like full of diseases.
Ah, big deal. So
like
are we.
Cane toad.
So are we. We got coronavirus, and we're still going about.
True.
Hey?
True.
You should see my medical certificate, mate. If you truly know what was going on for me, you wouldn't come within 10 foot of me. Hmm? Also, I had an interesting weekend. Some stuff went down. I'll get into that for you. Cherie had to come up with her birth certificate, and she's
failed.
Her bookkeeping's as good as mine.
Yep.
And some dude met his demise because he wanted to know if the world was flat or round, and we'll never know what his conclusion was because he passed away before he could give us his verdict. But you can hear about that and a whole heap more on the catch up, and it's starting right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I want to chuck something out there, and I'm open for a debate.
Oh, this sounds good.
I'm ready for a debate.
A good argument.
With all of you firstborns on the Gold Coast. All of the privileged firstborns of the
firstborn
Gold Coast.
Firstborn children.
Here's the go, Cherie. I truly believe that firstborns have it way easier, are way more favoured in families than the kids that aren't firstborns. And
if my parents are listening, they'll be laughing.
13, 27, 10, maybe you want to argue one way or another. Maybe you would disagree with me or maybe you agree, but you do by the sounds of it, Cherie.
So my brother's nickname, he's old, 3.5 years older than me. His nickname is the Chosen One.
Right, he's the firstborn.
Yeah, 100% he's the apple of the, he can do no wrong. He used to get in heaps of trouble as a teenager and then they'd never do anything about it. I never set a foot wrong. At school, Dad goes, I'll give you $1,000 for every subject you pass. I do two extra subjects waiting for my $7,000 and Dad goes, nah, it was only for your brother, not for you.
Okay, this is my story. Yesterday, my niece yesterday, she's the firstborn grandchild.
Yes.
Tilly, right? Great kid. Honestly, you couldn't get a better kid. She's a top girl.
Yeah.
But I'd almost even forgotten I'd done this. But the day she was born, 21 years ago yesterday, I bought her 21st birthday present.
Oh, did you?
And what I did, Cherie, was I went, I'm going to do this for all of my nieces and nephews and all of my children, but I'm going to buy them their 21st birthday the day they're born. And so Tilly was the first one.
Yes.
And yesterday, what I did was 21 years ago yesterday, my sister rang me and I could hear Matilda, my niece, crying in the background. I hadn't even yet met her.
Yes.
And I raced up the road and I bought her a bottle of wine that would age.
Oh, very good.
And I wrote her 21st birthday card 21 years ago yesterday.
That's super cool.
And what I wrote about was what life is like today when she was born. And I told her about her mum and I told her about her dad and I told her about her grandparents and her uncles and all this sort of stuff. And I said, in 21 years' time, we're going to open this bottle of wine, and I hope I can.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I said, I hope I can be a great uncle to you, like my uncle's been to me. And I told her about my uncle, and I wrote all of this sort of stuff. And she yesterday got to open the card that she's been holding on to since the day she was born.
So you gave it to her when she was born?
I went to the hospital the day she was born, and I said, here's your 21st birthday present. And it had yesterday's date on it.
Oh,
to be opened on whatever yesterday's date was. And she opened it yesterday, and she rang me, and she was in tears, and it was great.
That was awesome.
Now, this is why I went, firstborns are the most favourite. Do you think I did it for anybody else? Never, no.
Luke!
Couldn't be bothered. By the time my sister had her second kid, I was like,
yeah, nah.
Hey, good on ya. By the time the third one came around, I went, I'll get around to finding out what her name is in a month or two.
No, you are so mean.
My mum's just as bad. Like when Matilda came on the scene, if you go to my mum's place, she literally has a statue of her in the front yard. None of the other grandchildren. I'm going to get a statue of every grandchild. Just got the first one. So that's my argument for it.
Oh, that, yes, okay.
Who disagrees that firstborns are the most favourite? Has anyone got an argument you can put forward?
We've got Michael in Labrador. Michael, do you agree with Luke or disagree?
Definitely disagree, guys.
Go on. What's your experience? Are you a firstborn, mate?
I certainly am. I'm a firstborn, and I reckon that we got it worse off because we're the ones that make the mistakes that the others learn off.
Oh, you get all the punishment.
I cut the beating so many times from my parents. My brother and sister look back and they're not doing what he does. I'm not going to get beat like he does.
I see what you're saying.
I was running scared all the time.
I see what you're saying. You know, it's interesting because I was telling Cherie off air, I can't remember the exact figures, but like out of the top 100 US companies, listed companies, over 90% are run by firstborns.
They just get given their jobs.
On the space shuttle that landed on the moon, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, those guys, all firstborns on board the space shuttle.
Like, really?
Yeah, they are high achievers for the most part. Hey, Jenny from Narang, what did you want to say on this?
You have never said truer words.
Right, go on. What's your experience?
I was first born.
Right.
And my sister has hated me all my life.
Why? What's an example?
I kid you not.
What's an example, Jenny, of you being favoured?
My mother used to buy me something big and my sister something small. Or the photographs of me would be larger than her. It is horrible, let me tell you. And she blames me. I mean, I had nothing to do with the whole thing.
Yeah, you're just, you know, you're not the one dishing out the affection plus or minus. You're just the recipient. Hey, what about you, Jenny? Did you have children yourself, and did you favour your firstborn?
I've only had one, so I can say
yes and no. Even the dog disagrees in the background. Listen.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Now, this blows my mind. Keyboard warriors.
Right.
So if people dislike something so much that they then have to jump online, go and turn their computer on,
so much
or whatever.
Effort.
So much effort just to write you this message. So our travel TV show's on weekends.
Right.
Now, we will get one or two of these a year. This weekend, though, for some bizarre reason, we've had a whole heap.
Of negative emails?
They're just so ridiculous.
Right.
This one. I don't know who you are or where you're from. Well, you just watched the TV show and you just sent me an email, so you've gone onto my website, you know exactly who I am.
Yeah.
Some of the beep that you are raving on about your show, you are so full of beep. Your show should be canned. I'm ringing Channel 7 right now.
How do you respond to that?
So this is what I said. Oh, why, hello, Mike, and thank you so much for the pleasure of receiving your email. Please humour me and enlighten me as to the beep that we say on our TV show. As for being canned, somehow I don't think that's possible. We're one of the most successful shows in the country. I'm guessing that they love it since we are contracted for another 4 years. But please, to entertain me, let me know what our beep is.
Cherie, why are you handing power over to this guy?
I'm getting so much fun.
I'm getting angry at you now. You're just you're empowering this tool.
So do you want to know what beep we were talking about?
Go on. Yep.
So you did what you call a traveler's tip. saying that cattle on the road in the outback are dangerous and that you should slow down because they are wild animals.
Fair point.
Thank you. Right. Would the police ask us to do that?
Right.
So I wrote back, well, yes,
is
they
that,
are.
Is that why,
That's his whole thing.
So he's decided he's not going to watch the show because you said, slow down, you might hit a cow.
Yeah, thank you.
I know. What an idiot.
He has sent 11 emails since then. I've sent him one. He sent me 11. So then I just write back and I say, look, they are wild. They're not classed as domesticated because they're not milked in a cow shed every day.
What are you doing entertaining this tool?
So he carries on and on and on telling me that it's all wrong. And then right at the very end... he goes, they're not wild animals. They have boar runners, and boar runners see them every day. Do you think there's a man out on a 300,000 square kilometre station that's moving his cows from boar to boar every day?
Oh, I don't know. Don't ask me such intrinsic questions. I don't know. I'm angry at you, Cherie. You've got to ignore these people.
But, no, I do normally, but it was just so much fun to antagonise.
Can I tell you that we had, the other day, we copped as a show, because we were promoting the Indigenous All-Stars game.
Oh, yes.
Like, I mean, what a great initiative this
exactly.
is. I don't know who runs our social media here, but they had the best response because, obviously, in my opinion, a racist person...
Yes.
Emailed us and they said, how dare you promote the Indigenous All-Stars game? Went on with all these reasons why they're never going to listen to the station again, simply because we promoted the Indigenous All-Star game. And the best response I ever saw. Because my theory is don't respond at all.
That's right.
Unless you respond like this did. Whoever our person is that runs the social media, they went, okay, bye. And a waving emoji. And I just went, give him a pay rise. That's brilliant.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Now, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm already sweating from embarrassment and I still can't believe I did this. So I was going into Coles, doing my grocery shopping.
Where were you?
Sanctuary Cove, Coles.
Okay.
Ooh. So walking there. Now,
all right for some, isn't it?
Yeah. I went to school with a girl who was just stunningly unique. She's beautiful but unique. So
passive aggressive.
No, but she had flame red hair, but that beautiful red hair with these beautiful green eyes. Anyway.
Would you say I look beautiful? I'd say you look unique.
But no, but she was just stunning.
Right, okay.
And I saw her maybe two or three Christmases ago and she'd just bloomed. She was absolutely gorgeous. As I was walking in, I walked past a guy and I thought, oh, I know him. Kept walking. And as I walk in, I catch this woman with this flame red hair. And I'm like, oh.
The girl you went to school with?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, well, that'll be her hubby. He was familiar. I went running up to her. Oh, my God, Rachel, how are you? And she's like, yeah, really good. And I'm like, oh, great, blah, blah, blah. And I just keep, like, verbal diarrhea-ing.
Talking, yeah.
And then I start backtracking. And I'm like, she was never taller than me. And I'm thinking, why is she? And I look down at her feet. She's got, like, thongs on. So she's not on heels. And then I start panicking. And then she sort of looked at me a bit funny. And I was going, are you Rachel? And she goes, no, I didn't have the heart to tell you. Seriously, 5 minutes of chat. We're talking about Boston and marriage and all the, what have you been doing with your life? All these big, deep, meaningful things. Wrong person.
Mistaken
identity.
And she
did not have the heart to tell me.
Cherie, you're talking to an identical twin. I mean, as early as last Saturday, I go and watch my nephew play. Row. He's in rowing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go out to this dam out the back of Canungra, and I'm standing there, and I'm having a whole conversation with a lady I swear I've never met in my life.
Uh oh.
And I realise quickly that she thinks I'm Ashley, and she's going now. What's happened with George? Is George is blah 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 blah. Now Tom said that George blah 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 blah, and I don't know who George is. I don't know who Tom is, and I got a choice: do I sit here and do I? Because it's too far gone for me to go. Look, I've never met you before. I'm Luke. I just roll with it and I just go, well, that's good. Pass on to all the best to George. I'll see you later. And I get out of there. Worst case scenario, she thinks my brother is rude.
Yeah, well, that's true. It doesn't come back on you. Well,
what about this one? I was over at Oasis Shopping Centre here. This is probably a year or two back. And I see my mate GT. Now, GT used to be, he and I did Ironmans together. We've done a heap of adventures. He got me into Ironman racing. He's the sales manager for Hot Tomato. So he's at my old radio station. Really good mate of mine.
Yep.
And I see GT. And this is just what blokes do. So I rock up. I see, oh, there's GT. I'm going to go kidney punch him, right? So I...
oh, no.
You know where it's going, don't you?
Yes.
I go up and kidney punch GT, a bloke I've never seen before turns around and looks at me.
It's, did he punch you back?
No, I went, oh, I'm so sorry, mate. I thought you were my mate. I'm so sorry. Do you want to open the phones? I bet other people have done it.
Beck from Bundle, have you had it done to you or have you done it to somebody else?
No, I've actually done it to someone else. I was waiting for someone to go across the zebra crossing. I had the window down. I'm like, come on, FB, you know, blah, blah. And when the lady got close, I'm like, oh, my God, that's not even the, oh, my God, that's not my friend. How embarrassing.
Now, is FB like a, is that a derogatory term that you've flung out?
Yeah.
Right. I think it's fat bomb is what I think it is.
And okay. I had to go into where I was going and I saw the person in the
shop. Yeah, well, I didn't continue my grocery shopping with that lady giving me funny little looks the whole time.
Oh, you're reminding me now, Beck, with your story of yelling that out at the zebra crossing. I went to do school pickup once and I saw my mate in his car. So I started beeping my horn and giving him the forks and all, and it wasn't him. Oh. Yep. Some person I'd never seen
Need
before.
Need to go to Specsavers.
In the same car. Hey, Steve from Upper Coomera, what's your go, mate?
Oh, mate, 2 weeks ago we went to a sportsman's lunch and I was sitting in the car park with my missus in the car and I saw a silver ute pull in, identical to a mate of mine. I said, that's it, that's his crappy old ute. So what's this? So I sneaked up beside the car, punched the driver's window and said, get out of the car, you dog. The bloke turned round and I went, oh. So he was considerably bigger than my mate. And he took it in good grace, I might say, because I crapped myself.
Haven't Aussies got the funniest sense of humour? Like you see your mate and you immediately want to tell him to either get stuffed or punch him.
Punch him in the face.
It was just like a spur at a moment that I was scared the crap out of him. Scared the crap out of me.
Oh, you legend, Steve.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
My favourite story in amongst a ton of, bad news stories from around the place. The funniest story to me from the paper today, Cherie, is with regards to Dawn Critchlow, one of our councillors here on the coast.
It's like she just has to do one last thing before she bows out.
Yeah, she's leaving at the next election. And okay, I read this and I went, hang on. I checked the front page of the paper. I went, it's got to be April Fool's Day, right? Because she's got this plan for the ibis that we have here on the coast. A lot of people hate the ibis. Dawn must be one of them.
Now, woodpecker bird likes picking wood. The bluebird's a bird that sings pretty good. Sparrows are a bird that are pretty cool, eh? But the ibis is a bird that drinks bin juice all day. Crow is a bird with
Dawn hates them, and she goes, this is her plan to get rid of the ibis from the Gold Coast. She wants to feed them some seed that's got some kind of drug in it that knocks them out, right? I'm not making this up. Then scoop them all up when they're in the daze, put them on a train, and send them to Charleville.
Why Charleville? Where does she pull Charleville from?
She said that's where they're from.
I don't know whether she's right with that because there's bush turkeys out there. I don't think I've ever seen an ibis out there.
And then I'm reading this and I'm going, how does she know they come from Charleville?
Yeah.
And what, did they come here for schoolies and decide to stay or...
Back in 2004, she offered up her 3 grandsons to go and clean them up with spud guns.
Yeah, and so, and then I thought, how do we know the people from Charleville want our bloody ibis?
I bet they don't.
We've gone straight to the top. Joining us on the phone right now is the mayor of Charleville, Anne Liston. I'm told she's a lovely lady. She joins us right now. Anne, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, well, thanks. And yourself?
Good. Yes, we're really good. You're the mayor of Charleville, is that right?
Exactly, yes, I am.
Do you want our ibis?
I just don't think it's the right habitat for them out here. They love swampy water, you know, ground cover and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
We're in a 8-year drought out here.
Exactly. But we come out there a lot with our travel show. I've never seen an ibis out there.
I have never seen an ibis ever out here.
Where has Dawn, our councillor, come up with the idea that they come from Charleville?
We certainly welcome any two-legged birds out here, but I'm not sure that we want the ibis out here. Thanks very much, Dawn.
Can we send you Dawn?
Yeah, she's retiring. She might come out to Charleville.
She needs to come out here. This is a wonderful environment out here.
Are you offended? Are you offended that we could send you...
70,000 there is.
A train load with 70,000 ibis on it.
Please don't send us any ibis. Thank you very much for the offer.
Annie, we love you. Thank you. How is it in Charleville this afternoon?
Well, it's We've had some beautiful rain,
yep,
and we've
good.
Got a little run in our river,
right,
which is, you know, we're just observing it at the moment, but we may have to put our gates up. But this is the first rain we've had. We've had 8 years of very severe drought.
Oh, mm-hmm. Mate, you'll have swamps there. You'll have swamps there for our ibis. Hey,
yes,
we're sending
we do
them
now,
out.
But it won't be here long. So don't bother sending them, Luke. Thank you.
Good on you, Annie. There she goes.
Thank you.
Annie Lister. She is the mayor of Charleville. That is that's a cracking story. That one.
But why didn't Dawn get it through Parliament? I wonder.
Oh, I don't know. No idea.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
If I gave you 1,000 clues as to what happened, or guesses rather, as to what happened to me on Saturday, Cherie, I doubt you would guess it.
That bad?
It wasn't bad. It really wasn't bad. But
embarrassing?
It was just, no, it wasn't embarrassing either, actually. Or it was on Saturday morning, as of midnight Friday night, in fact, as soon as it clicked over to the 22nd of February, I became divorced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my divorce came through.
How does it make you feel?
Well, it's really weird, Cherie, and I wanted to share it with you.
Seriously, so many people say that it's what they want, but then when it actually happens, it's a really weird feeling.
Well, it was something that I was... I'm treading on thin ice because I in no way do I want to be disrespectful to Kathy.
Yes.
But it was something that I was looking forward to moving on from.
Yeah.
It was a new phase in my life, etc. And there's exciting things and all of that sort of stuff. But on the flip side of it, I hadn't really processed the feeling of actually of everything coming to an end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the bottom line is that what happened for me Saturday morning, I woke up and it was really on my mind. That, wow, I'm divorced. And I once said to Joe, my therapist, I said, I never thought I'd get divorced. And he turned around, like, put me in my place. He goes, well, who does?
Who does? Well, no one does.
No one gets married thinking they're going to get divorced.
No
but
way.
It really does feel like a spectacular failure on my behalf. And it's something that I'm... that I hope I never go through again. And then what happened, I sat down on Saturday morning and you go online these days to see the certificate and something happened when I looked at it, which I wasn't expecting. And that is, I actually saw the certificate saying that I'm divorced from Kathy and it just freaking hit me, mate.
It
really hit me and I got emotional, which I wasn't expecting. And it was just all of that time, I guess.
But also some people don't realise the magnitude of divorce.
Mm,
it's not just something, I'm going to leave you. Like, it's a big thing.
No.
Especially when you've got children.
And exactly. And I just, it affected me. And I went and did something and only did this because it felt like the right thing to do. But I went and I actually wrote, I wouldn't call it a letter, but I wrote a note to Kathy.
Yeah.
And I bought her a bunch of flowers.
Yeah, good. That's good on you. That's how it should be.
I went over to her place on Saturday morning and I rang the doorbell. She wasn't there. So I just jumped the fence and I was leaving.
Oh, as you do.
I
jumped the fence.
I was leaving this note and the flowers for her at her door. And then the phone rang. It was her. And she goes, where are you? And
she's watching on the cameras.
I go, where are you? And she goes, I'm at home. And I go, I'm at your front door now and I'm dropping something off for you. And she goes, really? And I go, yeah. I said, do you know what today is? And she goes, Saturday.
Oh
right?
My God, she didn't know.
She didn't know. And I said, no, we're divorced today. I said, we're divorced. And I said, I just wrote something for you and I want you to have a listen to it. And basically what I wrote to her was, thanks. Honestly, thanks for the for however many years and look at what we got out of it. We got Coralie.
Yes, like exactly. That's what you've got, and you have to think of it like that too. You've got to look at the positives.
How wonderful is that? And I said, I wish you nothing but love and happiness from here. And she rang me back as I left.
Yeah.
And she said, honestly, I thought it happened a month or two back, right?
It's brilliant payback on her behalf.
She goes, honestly, I thought we already were divorced. I said, nah, and I explained to her how it happens. And I said,
is she sitting there giving you that pat on the back? Hey, there, Luke, it's okay.
But I spoke to another mate about, I've got very few mates who've gone through it, and I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy, to be honest with you, but it's certainly something I hope I never go through again.
Yes.
But I spoke to another mate who has a horrible relationship with his ex.
Yes.
And I just wanted to share it because I went, like, I get on so much better with Kathy now. Like, so much better now.
Sometimes you have more respect for each other.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know what it is, but we actually get on so much better. And it's like we found the secret to having a good relationship
yeah, which is awesome. And that's the most
divorce.
Yeah.
Ironically enough.
I love you so much, I'm going to divorce you.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Now, do you have all your personal documents? You know, I mean, we all keep our passports ready to hand. You got your driver's license in your wallet.
I got my divorce certificate. No. I've got a driver's license. I've got a passport.
If I said to you, go home and find your birth certificate.
No idea. No.
And so,
I don't think I have a birth certificate.
You'd have.
I don't. I don't think. Do you still need one?
Well, that's what I say. Do you still need one? Because I have not been asked for a birth certificate in 1,000 years. I couldn't even tell you where my birth certificate is.
I have no idea.
No idea.
I would have no idea if I have a birth certificate. I have had no requirement for a birth certificate for my whole life.
I get an email Friday for a business that we own overseas, and I needed to have Peter and my birth certificates.
Really?
Send copies. Yeah. And I'm
like,
what
about your passport won't do?
Yeah. And that's where I'm like, hey. And they go, yeah, you got to have it. Blah, blah. I mean, yeah, right. No worries. I'll get back to you. And this is an American business. So they think it's like dodgy that I don't
have,
can't find a birth certificate.
Yeah.
She's like ringing me back 2 hours later. Where's the birth certificate? And I went, I have no idea. See, over there, you pretty much carry it with you. It's a real big thing. And I'm like, still can't find it. 3 days of searching, still can't find it. And then I was telling my girlfriends, and I'm like, do you have a birth certificate? And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess I must do somewhere.
No one knows where the birth certificate is.
No, but you know what? I rang up this morning
right. And
said, I need to get a copy of the birth certificate. Hardest thing in the world. I've got to fill in all these forms. You've got to get stat decks. You've got to go here. You've got to go there. Seriously, 6 to 8 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, to get another copy, like an original. They can send you a copy on email, but it's not legally binding. It's not really anything.
The irony is, to get a birth certificate, you need a birth certificate.
Well, seriously, the stuff that you need, so you've got to have like 400 points of ID. You've got to have your parents' birth certificates and
Like when my first radio show was in Darwin.
Yes.
And I don't know what happened to my passport when I was in Darwin, but I lost it. I maintain it was stolen, but who knows? I might have just lost it. I lost my passport. And I had to get a new passport, and I had no identification at all. And I walked into the passport office Darwin, and they went, we know you. We know you. You're the loudmouth from the radio. What's your birth date? And I wrote, that's how I've got my current passport.
Yeah. But no, but seriously, it was legitimately, I was blown away. And then the lady on the phone's going, hey, this is like really dodgy. Like, how come you don't have a birth certificate? I go, I would have one. No, I just don't physically have one.
I don't keep any of that stuff.
No.
I never needed it at all.
But I just want to know, what would you use it for?
I don't know, Cherie. I don't know. But we're learning things about you this afternoon, that you're dodgy is at top of the list.
Yeah. Don't have a birth certificate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Fatty Vorton's great Gold Coaster, good friend of the show, and he's in a bit of controversy this afternoon with regards to comments that he made during the NRL All-Star game.
Yeah, had a bit of a slip of the tongue with, I guess, just one word that came out the wrong way.
So what happened? The two teams had just come out on the field and they'd both done their war cries. And this is what Fatty said that's landed him in some circles in a bit of controversy this afternoon.
I really enjoyed that. As I would imagine everyone did at home, I saw a healthy respect for both cultures out there. And that's very important. And the boys loved it. They loved the dancing. Who won the dancing contest, Joey? They were both pretty good.
Intimidating, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's sensational.
It was the dancing comment. And geez, Joey bailed, didn't he?
Didn't he just? Gave him nothing.
Joey went, ooh.
Yeah, nah. Poor choice of word.
You can answer that one yourself, Fatty. Yeah. I'm bailing on that one. You can have those headlines for yourself, mate.
Far out.
Just speaking of headlines, what about this one? There's a dude by the name of Mad Mike. The tragic story, Mad Mike has passed away. And I was reading it on news.com.au. It's in the States somewhere. Mad Mike was one of these dudes who believed, they call them flat earthers. He believes the Earth is flat, not round.
Even though we all know it's round.
Well, not according to Mad Mike. Mad Mike believes that believed that the world was flat, and he wasn't going to take your word for it or anyone else's words.
And the other 3 billion people in the world know.
And what had happened was Mad Mike went, well, you know what? Because everyone would go, well, what about those shots, Mike, from outer space that show that the world is round? Like you can see the shots from outer space. And yeah. He goes, they're doctored.
Oh, they're doctored.
They're
right.
Doctored, those shots. How do I know that those shots actually exist? Yeah, they tell us that they're the shots from outer space, but I want to see it for myself. So what Mad Mike did was he built a rocket.
That cost him $17,000.
Did it really?
$17,000 he spent for something he already knew the answer to.
He strapped a rocket to his back. You find this funny, do you, Cherie?
Well, because he spent all that money to... It's like me saying I'm going to spend $17,000, whatever it is, to see if a horse can fly.
To see if Tuesday follows Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
He put a rocket on his back. You think about what could go wrong.
Homemade rocket.
Shot himself up in the air with a parachute on his back so that he could see the view for himself from right up there and see if it was flat or if it was round. But what happened was the chute didn't open.
Unfortunately.
And so he came to his demise.
So he now knows that he's now flat.
Yeah, I'm reading this. It says here that in the rest of the article, it says it's not known if Mike ever determined if the world was flat or round, but he did work out that it is hard.
I bet he felt that with a thud. Oh,
and what did you say, Cherie? The irony being is what? Now Mike is what?
He's flat.
Now Mike is flat.
Silly people.
Okay, we're racking off out of here. Thank you for your company this afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon from 3 for your local drive home. Cop you then.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.